Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that it's good to be in your house. It's good to be in your presence. Father, fill our hearts with rejoicing as we remember all the things that happened this year. All the things you did. Glorious, glorious things. Father, quieten our hearts that we put away all distractions and just focus on you. Enjoy your presence. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Today is a special Sunday. It's the last Sunday in 2019. How has 2019 been for you? Good? Bad? Ugly? The Straits Times carried an article on 23rd December calling 2019 a year of conflict. It highlighted trade war tension between the US and China. For myself, it was a year of conflict as I considered very much Hong Kong, whom we know to be a peaceful nation, and yet suddenly this year, tremendous violence erupted, tremendous conflict. These things have clouded 2019. But as people of God, how should we view this year? I believe we should view this year with the same eyes that David did. David, being the man of God, the man after God's own heart, Israel's favorite king. This is what David said in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 2. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David didn't look at external circumstances to decide whether things are good or bad. Instead, he spoke to himself. He spoke to his own soul. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In Hebrew, soul is nefesh. And nefesh actually means our inner being, our thoughts, our emotions, our will. All this is our soul. David said, "All this, my soul, bless the Lord." Not only that, but David went further. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." What is this, all that is within me? There's a man named Paul Wilbur. You may know him. He's a famous worship leader, and he made popular songs like "Lion of Judah," "Days of Elijah." This man, Paul Wilbur, is a worshiper. And as he's reflecting on Psalm 103, especially the words of David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," this is how Paul Wilbur interpreted the words. He said, "All that is within me carries with it even the physical parts of a man's core, his organs." So, in other words, according to Paul Wilbur, when David said, "All that is within me," he is telling his internal organs to bless the Lord. Can you speak to your internal organs? This is something quite new to me until recently. Recently, I had an operation. It's called bilateral total knee replacement. And what it means is that both sides, left leg, right leg, both knees were so badly damaged that I had to operate on both at the same time. The injured parts were taken out, and implants, new implants, were put into my body. The new implants were made of metal, ceramic, plastic, and titanium. It sounds like a horrible mix, things that I would never dream of putting into my own body. Metal, ceramic, plastic, titanium. But these things were actually, they made up the new implants, they made up my new knees. And in the days after the operation, when I was recovering, many people came to the hospital to pray for me, and I'm grateful for all. I remember especially one friend. She came and she prayed by speaking to my internal organs. And she said to my internal organs, "You will accept the new implants. You will not reject the metal, the titanium, the ceramic, all that. You will not reject, but you will accept this as new members of your body." As she prayed that, I was thinking, I've never heard this kind of prayer before. But praise God, it worked. It worked. And my body actually accepted the new implants. If my body had rejected it, it would have been dreadful. But praise God, my body did accept. So what I'm saying is, when you pray, you can command your own soul. You can even command your internal organs to bless the Lord. You know, there are many ways to bless the Lord. Today, let's speak about just one way to bless the Lord, and that is to give thanks. And so our topic for today, give thanks. As we think of 2019 and all the things that have happened, let us give thanks. As David says, forget not all his benefits. What benefits? Firstly, spiritual benefits, spiritual blessings. Psalm 103, verse 3 says that God forgives all our iniquity. Now, this is not a word that we use commonly every day, iniquity. Maybe we're not so sure what it means. Actually, in the Bible, there are different Hebrew words referring to sin. And all three words in Hebrew appear in this Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Three words used for sin: sin, transgression, and iniquity. Different words in Hebrew, all carrying slightly different meanings. Firstly, sin is the Hebrew hatata. I won't ask you to pronounce it, but it's hatata. And what it means is missing the mark, falling away. So if you can imagine, in the modern context, playing darts, bullseye, right? Bullseye. If you hit the bullseye, that is, in a way, it can be said to be God's standard of holiness. But as you try to throw the darts, you know how hard it is to hit the bullseye. Chances are you will miss. And you can hit any other part of the dartboard, but you will miss the bullseye. Missing the mark, that is sin. Falling short of God's standard of holiness. Missing God's path of righteousness. All this is sin. Transgression is the Hebrew word pesher. And transgression means a violation of Torah, God's law, through ignorance. So you may say, I didn't know that God's law says that this is a sin. All right, you didn't know. But the fact is, you did it, and so you are guilty. If you go to a foreign country, you may say, I didn't know the law of the land says I cannot do this and that. Fine. But the fact is, you did it, and so you are guilty. So this is transgression. This is pesher. Ignorance. You sinned against God out of ignorance. But then the third Hebrew word, avon. Avon, translated as iniquity. It means perversity or depravity. What it means is, we know God's standard. We know Torah. We know the law. But we still purposely sin. We still purposely break the law. We know what God wants, but we not only don't do it, but we actually do the opposite. Why? Because we are so perverse. Because we are so depraved. Because we are so wicked in our innermost being. And so if you think of the three kinds of sin, which is the worst? Missing God's mark? That's bad. Committing a sin out of ignorance? That's bad. But the worst is iniquity. Knowing God's standard and purposely doing the opposite. This is the worst kind of sin. But look what David says in Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity. God forgives all your iniquity. In other words, if God is willing to forgive the worst kind of sin, surely he will forgive your lesser sins, your smaller sins. Have you ever been so ashamed of something that you did? Something that you knew was sinful? Something so bad? Have you been so ashamed that you never wanted anyone to know? not even your closest friend. It's terrible to live life with that kind of guilt, that kind of shame, but we don't have to carry on with it. Certainly, we do not have to bring it into 2020. We simply have to confess to God, repent before God, and as He forgives our iniquity, He will forgive all our sins, from the worst even down to the smallest. He will forgive. As I read Psalm 103, I'm reminded how God will forgive. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." How far is the east from the west? If you're thinking of Singapore, east coast to west coast, that's quite easy to answer because Singapore is a very small island. But if you're thinking in general, how far is the east from the west? Surely David was not thinking about measuring it in terms of miles, in terms of kilometers, not that kind of measurement. But I believe that he was saying something else. And as I read Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, I'm reminded of this picture. When Jesus was on the cross, he stretched out his arms. As far as the east is from the west, so God has removed all our sin. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died as a sacrifice for our sins. He died so that instead of us receiving the punishment, he would receive the punishment for sin, which is death. He has removed our sins from us. Praise God. Let us not leave 2019 carrying burdens of shame and guilt. But as we enter 2020, not just a new year, but a new decade, let us enter free, forgiven. This is the greatest spiritual blessing. Without this forgiveness of sins, we can never grow in our relationship with God, because God is holy. And if we are sinful, we can never move forward with Him. So God gives to us spiritual blessings. He also gives to us physical blessings. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." Any of us can fall sick. Any of us can get a disease. But I believe it is mainly senior citizens, older people, who are very susceptible to sickness and to disease. A question: how old was David when he wrote Psalm 103? You know, for some of the Psalms, you can easily tell how old David was because there's like an introduction, there are a few words before the Psalm, and it tells you exactly what state of life David was in, what incident he was facing. So we can easily tell his age. But when you read Psalm 103, that information is missing. But there are clues. And so there's this man, his name is Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon was a 19th century English preacher. He studied Psalm 103. He said David was in his older years when he wrote Psalm 103. Why older years? Because Psalm 103 talks a lot about the frailty of life. It talks about sickness. It even talks about the pit, which is another word for death. I believe Spurgeon was right. You know, when I was young, I felt sick very often, but it never troubled me. It never bothered me. I didn't think anything about falling sick. I would get well very fast. But it's now, in the later years of my life, where health becomes a major issue. And as we read Psalm 103, we find that David was grappling a lot with health issues. And so I believe, yes, he was in his later years. David, to him it was so wonderful. He said, "God heals all our diseases." Do you believe that? I think many of us have faith that God heals our small sicknesses. A cough, a cold, we pray, we believe God will heal us. But do we have the faith that God will heal even a major disease, even something life-threatening? I believe what the Bible says. God heals all our diseases. Just see what Jesus did. It says in Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Sickness, disease, they are slightly different. Sickness is a general word, and it refers to anything, even from the smallest ailments, like a cough, like a cold. But disease is more serious. It's a medical condition. It's something that the doctors would diagnose you with. It is a serious condition. The Bible says Jesus healed every sickness, every disease. We're about to start January 2020. Can you think back to January 2019 when we started this year? How was your world? Were you very excited to start a new year? Were you making New Year resolutions, getting ready to embark on a new phase of your life? For me, that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because I was so sick. I was coughing. I couldn't stop coughing. My body was so weak. I felt like I was drowning in phlegm. Went to a doctor and was warded in hospital for pneumonia. Later, I found out that pneumonia is a major killer among senior people. And so that really worried me. There was one night in hospital when I was so sick, I simply couldn't sleep because, you know, the phlegm was so bad. I kept coughing and I couldn't sleep. And all I could do was pray. And it was then that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, "He will heal me of every disease. He will heal me of every disease." And praise God. What happened was, first He healed me of pneumonia. And then in the months that followed, He healed me progressively of one disease after another. I had several. So He healed me progressively of one disease after another. God did keep His promise to me. He healed me of every disease. Closely related to this idea of healing is verse 5. Psalm 103 verse 5 says, "Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Looking at you here, I see some very young people. You are already in your youth. You are in your youth, so this verse does not excite you. But the older people who are past the prime, I hope you are excited to read this verse. The Bible says your youth will be renewed. How will your youth be renewed? If the Bible just stops there, we are left to our imagination. And we can think, maybe our youth is renewed through this. Plastic surgery. Perhaps. Why not? We would look a lot prettier, a lot handsomer, a lot more attractive if we went for plastic surgery. But no, the Bible doesn't say your youth will be renewed through plastic surgery. If not plastic surgery, then how about this? Superfoods. Superfoods. Avocado is a superfood because it's so small, but it is so dense, so full of nutrients. Again, it's tempting to think if we eat superfoods, our youth will be renewed. But the Bible doesn't say that. Instead, the Bible says, let's look again, Psalm 103, verse 5. It says that God satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So here we have the answer. How is God going to renew our youth like the eagle? You know, that's good news because of all the birds in the world. The eagle is the king. The eagle is the one who can fly higher than any other bird. He can fly faster than any other bird. And the eagle can even live to over 100 years old. So that's good news. Our youth will be renewed like the eagle. But exactly how is the eagle's youth renewed? Unfortunately, it comes with great pain. It comes in the most painful, horrible way. At about midlife, The eagle experiences a chemical change in his body. And with this chemical change, he starts to lose his feathers. Now, you know that people, as we age, we don't have feathers, but we lose our hair, right? We drop hair. And some of us even drop so much hair as we age that we actually grow bald. But although it affects us to be bald, it doesn't affect our legs. We can still walk. But you see, the eagle, when it loses its feathers, it totally cannot fly. How can you fly without feathers? And so here is this majestic eagle, chemical change in his body, he loses his feathers, he can no longer fly. And so, you can see how awful he looks. He has to walk around at ground level in the valley. And actually, God did not make eagles to walk. And so he doesn't walk very well. He walks with a funny limp, you know. He walks like a chicken, he walks like a turkey. Nothing like a majestic eagle. So if you can imagine yourself in that place, suddenly you lose your hair, your feathers, you look awful, you're walking with a funny limp, you can't do all the things you liked to do before, it's bad. But you know that's not the end, because there's something even worse that happens to the eagle. And that is the eagle begins to lose its great eyesight. The eyes begin to suffer. When the eagle is in its prime, the eyesight is so tremendous that it can see up to 7 miles away. 7 miles is something like 11 km. That is tremendous eyesight. And even when the eagle is flying high in the sky, it can see up to 2 miles away. It can see a small object like a rabbit running away. The eagle can spot it from over 3 km away. That is when the eagle is in its prime. But here, in the valley, when the eagle cannot fly, it's lost its feathers, it's struggling to walk, it even loses its eyesight. And then the whole body gets weak and worse, it loses its appetite. You know, when I lose my appetite, I know I'm really sick. When I can no longer want to eat, that means I'm really sick. So if it were me, can hardly walk, so weak, can't even eat, I would say, my time has come. It's time to leave the world. That's how I would feel. But for the eagle, at this point, when it seems that everything is lost, when it seems that this is the end of the eagle's life, suddenly there's a sound in the sky. And when the eagle looks up, this is what it sees in the sky. It sees flying overhead a group of eagles. And this group of eagles is not just flying overhead, but it's dropping something to the injured eagle on the ground. It's dropping food. Food. And as the injured eagle receives this food and eats it, its strength returns. Slowly, the feathers grow again. And slowly, but surely, its youth has been renewed. Amen. This is, to me, a very beautiful picture of what God does in our life. Because we go through those times of stripping, those times where we lose everything, the times where we feel totally useless. An outcast walking alone in the valley, not even walking, but limping along in the valley alone. At those times, when it seems that everything is lost, God will send help. And he sends, as it were, a group of eagles. You know, it's not young eagles who do this, but it's the old eagles, because the old eagles themselves went through that stage of near-death experience, and they know what it feels like. And so it's the old eagles who fly overhead and drop the food. A beautiful picture of how youth is renewed for the eagle. In my case, I had osteoarthritis of the knees for many, many years. Many years. I used to walk, those of you who knew me from before, I used to walk looking so funny. Even when I thought I'm walking like a model, people would tell me, no, you're looking really strange, you're limping, you're looking really strange. Even in those days where I felt not very much pain, they would still say, you are walking very funny. And things got so bad over the years that in July this year, I felt so much pain, I could hardly walk, and so I had to go around in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair. And I kept remembering God's promise. You know, when I was in hospital for pneumonia, God promised me He will heal all my diseases. I said, God, I remember your promise. Why am I in a wheelchair? What am I doing now in a wheelchair? And so I kept thinking and praying. I know that there's supernatural healing, and I know also that there's healing by medical means. I know that both are from God. You can have the best doctors in the world, the best medicine in the world, but still, without God, things can go wrong. So there's supernatural healing, there's healing by medical means, both are from God. And yet all these years, with my knees in such bad condition, I've always been praying for supernatural healing. I have never wanted medical healing. I never wanted the operation. I always wanted supernatural healing. But looking back, I believe it was God's purpose that I go through the operation to have healing by medical means. Why? Imagine if one day I prayed so hard, or a healing evangelist came and prayed over me, and instantly I'm healed. Instantly I can run and I can jump. How glorious. I'd be screaming away, hallelujah, Jesus healed me. I'd be so full of joy. But you know what? I would have lost a lot in terms of spiritual growth. And I say that because going through the operation was a very humbling experience for me. It was humbling in every way. I always thought, if I got nothing else in this world, I got faith. I got faith in Jesus. The operation taught me, no, I don't have faith. I have actually very little faith. And I spent a lot of time worrying, being afraid, frightened. Very little faith. And that shook me badly. I thought I had faith, but no, very little faith. Humbling in another way also. I thought I can take pain. But to my great shame, I discovered that every night in bed, I'd be screaming in pain because I couldn't take the pain. I'm just screaming. I couldn't sleep, screaming away. And so the operation was a humbling experience. It was a shameful experience. But through this, I grew closer to God. And through this, I believe, through this painful experience, God did do something. He brought me through the eagle experience. And so when the day came, this wonderful day I will always remember. This is the day I returned the wheelchair to the cathedral. And I could return it because I no longer needed the wheelchair and I could walk well already. On this day, when I returned the wheelchair to the cathedral, people who saw me said, eh, you look younger. And I actually felt younger. This, I believe, was God's way of bringing me through the eagle experience. Terrible pain. Pain I never want to go through again. But through it, my youth was renewed like the eagles. Amen. And so I encourage you. What pain are you going through? Physical pain, emotional pain, whatever pain you're going through, will you trust God still that He will work something out of this, something good? He will bring you to a better place. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Let's reflect on 2019, the things that God brought us through, the good times, the bad times, the very painful times. But God has brought us through, and He will bring us to greater heights. Like the eagle, He will renew our youth. So, Father, we commit ourselves to You, Lord, that we would not hold on to the negative experiences of 2019, but we will say, even for all of this, praise God, bless the Lord, O my soul. all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. Amen. Father, I pray that you will fill our hearts with thanksgiving. Fill us with gratitude. That we would be a people who praise you, people who love you, and people who put our faith in you more and more. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.